integrated, and at most they can handle one or more battalion, but not three. The Hetzer model is not truly separate, and the results are predictable. A large proportion of them are lost to Judaism. According to Rabbi Eliezer Palamed, Rosh Yeshiva of the religious Zionist Yeshiva of Rabba, 20% come out completely secular. Those who return to Yeshiva are weak in their commitment to Torah. When I moved to Israel, the religious Zionist party had 13 seats in the government, and today they have 5. This is in no small part due to the secularization of their youth in the army. Even if it were true that it has a status of the Tzvach Nefesh, which it does not, Haredim cannot serve in the army. Spiritual Pekuach Nefesh is of no lesser importance than physical Pekuach Nefesh. We should have the status of conscientious objectors in any democratic society. So they say that instead, students should leave the yeshiva and stop learning Torah for public service. How absurd! Learning Torah ensures the survival of the Jewish people. It has done so for thousands of years. And as we have seen before our eyes, it rejuvenated American Jewry after the Holocaust. Learning Torah should now be considered on par with changing beds in the hospital. How outrageous is it that this should be suggested in a Jewish state? Without Torah, there would be no Jewish state, no claim to the land of Israel. How can learning Torah now be considered a valid public service?
All right, so there's really a few different arguments here. One of them is the long-standing tradition. If there's really a clash that the Torah world should emerge victorious, there's the specific question of what happens if your commander tells you to violate Shabbos. What do you do then? And that's really a practical consideration, but one he's very worried about. And the larger concern, it sounds like, is just a general decrease in religious commitment. You spend 3 years in the army, you're not in a Torah environment, you're pulled in that direction, you'll acculturate. And that's spiritual pikuach nefesh. And for that, you know, even real pikuach nefesh, or a physical pikuach nefesh, wouldn't take precedence. Although he also says it's not real pikuach nefesh. He's assuming it's not a live war. There's no real risk to anyone's lives right now. And public service won't help. So that's Ron Feldman giving a variety of reasons. Like the Tzitz Eliezer, the basic argument is that it'll destroy either yeshiva culture or their religiosity. It's pikuach nefesh for that reason. And you know, it doesn't even get into the details of whether you're exempt from the tax, from the safety tax, in this case a draft or not. That's on one side of the ledger, people anti-army service. On the other hand, the Pnine Halacha by Rav Melamed, who's an important posik in the Tilumi world, he says he presents a different perspective. If someone wants to read number 4, it's not prohibited, it's even a mitzvah to serve in the army.
It is a great mitzvah to enlist in the Israeli Defense Forces. 2 commandments stand as the basis of this obligation, and each is arguably tantamount to fulfilling all the commandments. One is to save the Jewish people from its enemies, and the second is to protect the line of Israel that are remain in the hands of the Jewish people. So in terms of saving Jews, we are obligated to help our brethren when they are in danger. As it says, do not stand upon the blood of your fellow. To this end, one must be prepared to enter into some degree of danger. And all the more so, when all of Israel is in danger, one must join in to save Israel. We are obligated to conquer the land and settle it, meaning that the land remain under Jewish rule and be entirely settled by Jews. And this commandment overrides the obligation to save the lives of individuals, for we are obligated to conquer the land, and the Torah does not intend that we depend on a miracle, and since in every war there are casualties, hence the commandment to settle the land obligates us to put our lives in danger for it.
Right, so 2 reasons they work together, but they're actually pulling in different directions. Protecting other Jews' lives, and you know, Israel is always under threat, even if it's not imminent, right? If you disband the Israeli army, it wouldn't end well for Israel, on the one hand. And on the other hand, conquering the land. We saw this last time with Zionism and Rav Lichtenstein's thought, right? That the primary mitzvah, according to the Ramban, is to make sure the land remains under Jewish control. Living in Israel is almost a lower level, a lower fulfillment, but the main goal is to make sure the land remains under Israeli control. And of course, you need an army to do that. It doesn't happen on its own. So that's a couple of reasons he gives. Obviously, he would dispute the claim that it destroys people's spiritual world. Obviously, all Hezer yeshivas believe that, otherwise they wouldn't exist, right? If they thought that it was spiritual suicide, they'd probably try to do things differently. And another person who supports army service is Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. As we saw, he disputed the claim made in his father's name that he was anti-army. He's only anti-secular armies for people who were previously yeshiva students, but not anti-Israeli army by any means. And here's what he said in source number 5 about when he met with the army about a possibility of having exemptions or deferrals of students. Someone wants to read that. All right. Number 5? Yeah.
Number 5 is In a joint meeting with the heads of the military regarding exempting yeshiva students from the army, I said, there is no exemption. You're not cut off from the Jewish people. There is no exemption. You're not evading but deferring during the time of yeshiva. It is thus written on the forms that I signed for the Hezra students that their time in yeshiva is a deferral, not an exemption. But all the sources brought to exempt yeshiva students from the army are an embarrassment to the Torah.
Right, so fighting words, right? It's an embarrassment. And we don't believe in exemption, only deferral. And I think Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook was the head of Merkaz Harav. They actually aren't a purely Hezder program. They do have a Hezder option. They also have people who learn for 9 years and then serve in the army rabbinate for 9 months. They have various tracks, but the principle is everyone has an obligation to serve in the army. The question is how you do it, when you do it, defer and push it off a little bit to learn more. But the idea that you're exempt from the army is a busha, is an embarrassment to the Torah. So those, Rav Malamed and Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, both support army service. And now we're going to see Rav David Pigman, who's in charge of one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Malek Gilboa, which is Shiluv, which means they also do 5 years, but three of them are army, and two of them are yeshiva, as opposed to like three and a half being yeshiva, and a year and a half of army. So a Shiluv approach, and he has a slightly different formulation. He takes it even a step further as to what the ideal is. So I want to read number six.
There's a price to be paid for doing full army service, but I think the moral implications for someone who served less time than did his friends who did not study in yeshiva is a major factor in the formation of Torah students today. But I recommend that there is a price. I can say good things about my students in Yitzurim, who are very special people, relatively few are rabbis, but many are unique Torah students, very generous in various capacities. I think we're starting to connect to new people.
Right, so I guess he was previously at the Ein Tzurim, which is another similar to Malek Gilboa, also Shiluv. So he says it's interesting. He supports it, but it's not clear, even from his supportive formulation, that it can produce Talmidei Chachamim. Right, his goal is to produce people who will be good members of Israeli society, generous people, people who are connected to Israel, people who do the full service. And the reason why he says people should do the full 3 years is because if you don't do it, that has a major factor in terms of interactions with others. Right, if you're an Israeli who did 3 years of army, and someone who shows up who did a year and a half, you say, well, are you really on board? Are you really as committed to Israel? And he thought that I don't know if you say it's an obligation to do the full service, or that just it's better to share the burden equally rather than get somewhat of a hanacha, somewhat of a decrease in the amount of service that you need to have. So that's his approach. As we're going to see, and as you might have guessed, Rav Lichtenstein is seen somewhere in the middle, right? Balancing both the importance of Torah and the importance of army service, of pikuach nefesh, of being integrated into society and supporting it in various ways. So this article came out in 1981 in English and came out slightly earlier, if I'm not mistaken, in Hebrew. And Rav Barnes starts off the piece by saying, like, if I'd written this a bit earlier, it wouldn't even be necessary. Everyone would have realized we're under existential threat. You don't need to justify having Hezder, everyone needs to serve, and everyone was proud of the army. Nowadays, he says, Baruch Hashem, we're safer, so we actually need to discuss this. He talks about the various options facing someone serving the army, whether full of 3 years, Tarasom Naso, or Hezder. He says, in some ways, Hezder is the easiest. It's less army service, and you're recognized as having served. You're recognized as a full-fledged member of society. And you can easier to get jobs. And furthermore, you're around religious people. You're not, generally, Hezder units, more often than not, in the past, datim with datim as opposed to mixed with secular Israelis. So it's easier to stay religious, but even though it's easier, that may be true, but that's not why you do Hezder. Hezder is not really about making things easier, it's about a challenge. It's about the tension between two different competing obligations rather than about convenience. The goal of a Hezder yeshiva is to create students who are both Talmidei Chachamim and people who feel morally and religiously committed to serving their country. So that's why you need to really do both the learning and the army. And this is a quote, he says, it enables them to maintain an integrated Jewish existence. But again, that idea of being integrated, of putting all the different pieces of all the different parts of life and applying them together, integrating them into one's life. At the same time, it's not 50-50, right? It's not like you spend 2.5 years here, 2.5 years there. You do spend more time in learning, and that's for a variety of reasons, including that, sort of more necessary, and we'll get to that. So, right, and that's the first source here, the first quote from the article here talks about that. If someone wants to read the bottom of page 4, see if you will, yeah.
Number 7,
the first part, yeah.
To be sure, the two aspects of Tetzer, the spiritual and the military, are hardly on par. The disparity is reflected in part in the unequal division of time. Primarily, however, it concerns the realm of value, within which two elements, each indispensable, may yet be variously regarded. The yeshiva prescribes military service as a means to an end. That end is the enrichment of personal and communal spiritual life, the realization of that great moral and religious burden which atonement has an international destiny. Everything else is wholly subservient. No one responsibly connected with any yeshiva has their advocated military service per se. We avoid even the slightest tinge of militarism, and we are both removed from Plato's notion that the discipline of army life is a necessary ingredient of an ideal education. No less than every Jew, the typical Hasidic yearns for peace, longs for the day on which he can vest himself of uniform and duty in both his energies and Torah.
Right, so the point here is we think it's an ideal to serve in the army given a non-ideal scenario where it's necessary to be ready for war. Of course, we're not militaristic. We don't believe in, you know, army service for army service's sake. Actually, he says this is obvious. It's actually not so obvious to some people. Rav Yitzi Blau has an article where he goes through a bunch of people in the Tehillim community, which he contrasts with Rav Lichtenstein, and I think at this point, who say things like, who valorize militarism per se. Especially you find this in places like Michinot, where you learn for 1 year and you do a lot of physical training and then you enter usually elite units. They really push like army is the ideal, not just the ideal in a non-ideal scenario, but like the ideal per se. And, Rav Lichtenstein is pushing in a different direction. That's not the goal. We're not proud of the fact that we're serving the army. It's necessary. Given that Israel needs it, we're happy to share the burden. That's important. But to be like pro-war is not an ideal. Actually, we have some quotes we'll see towards the end that make a similar point. So he fleshes this out further in the next paragraph, see if he'll continue.
Okay. In one sense, therefore, insofar as army service is alien to the ideal Jewish vision, Hezer is grounded in necessity rather than choice. It is a political idea, a post-facto response to a political reality impressed upon